the 2000s saw so many of the greatest come to life, right? Schumacher's the greatest, Tendulkar's the greatest. You know, you have Roger and Rafa and Djokovic playing in that era. I just know that I watched like 2 hours worth of Federer highlights after that retirement announcement video. Suddenly, baseline classics on Instagram.
It all started from that man. He will be missed.
Without Nadal, there is no Federer. Without Federer, there is no Nadal.
All
right.
I wanted to be like Sachin. We all did.
He brought a certain obvious extreme talent with that classic Ayla, quiet, silent, calmness.
Schumacher made F1 fun to watch for all of us. Everyone wanted that Italian red Ferrari t-shirt or cap. One of my first passwords was Michael Schumacher 1 or something like that. Yeah, and imagine typing in Schumacher at that age also, the spelling. It was like my own spelling bee going on.
The day Ronaldo retires, I honestly think I'll cry that day.
What I would do to see Portugal versus Argentina in the World Cup final, man.
You know, I've actually dreamt of this. I dream of stuff like this.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of All About Sports, the podcast, a podcast by the fans, for the fans. And today, before I get into a podcast, which is going to be, you know, all of us kind of speaking as fans, because we are kind of seeing a lot of retirements of our favorite sports people across the, across a few sports, not just one. And we've been seeing it for the last few years. I just let everyone know that we did very quick take on the Asia Cup, how it went. What are our takes on, you know, how India did, how Pakistan did, how Lanka did, like the eventual winners, and whether they're back into the fray of being a possible top team in the future, right? Before I dive in, I'd like to introduce everyone who's on the pod. I'm Aniket. I have with me my regular co-host. All four of us are this, are on this after a bit. Rishabh Krishnan, say hello. He is waving a yo sign in your face for those who are listening.
I know, now I got awkward. But anyway, hey everyone.
Shubham Malu.
Hey guys.
Yes, and we have Mazhar.
What's up, people?
Now. Before.
What are all these sound effects you're putting in today, man?
No, I'm jumpy. Why don't you get it? I'm really jumpy because my favorite of the lot, okay, has just retired. You know, Fed retiring is such an odd moment for me. Like, he hasn't played any tennis for a better part of like 3 or 4 years now. But it's still like just him coming out and saying that, you know, I'm not even going to try anymore after this Laver Cup kind of really dulls the mood. You know, if anyone wants to take up, because I will speak for 15 minutes without stopping on this man and his legacy. So I want any one of you to really like tell me what you feel the most about Fed retiring, because I know there are a few Nadal fans on this podcast, all right? But Federer is one half of Nadal, so you know it's just how I feel about Nadal also. Like, without Nadal, there is no Federer. Without Federer, there is no Nadal. All right.
Yeah, that would be Djokovic. Oh
God. Louis, I think if you carry on like this now, you should host a bit more. Today you're in full form.
He's gone onto this.
The way you went about Nadal was unreal, dude.
You remember that "Oh Captain, My Captain" poem, right? Where it's like, "Oh Captain, My Captain," giving an ode to that his captain.
I have
from
seen
the
so many. I have seen so many people do this and recite that poem. My God, yuck!
And funny enough, I narrated "Oh Captain, My Captain," and I didn't do this. So,
I am proud of you, my friend. This is why we know each other, and this is how we get along, because you didn't feel the need to do.
No, but. Yeah, I want to hear Shubham's take on this, because I have a very interesting
opinion. I know.
So.
This Nadal fan is going to say something rude only. Mazhar, you speak last only. Okay, you speak second last, because I'll do all the whitewashing after you speak.
So in terms of Federer, I just think like Federer is one of those players who goes beyond just his sport in terms of what he achieved. Like, I think for many people in our generation, a lot of people started playing tennis perhaps looking at Federer. Obviously, there were greats before him also. But Federer became that global sensation which perhaps the people before him did not achieve. Federer is also someone who is an athlete who not just achieved success on the court, but even his off-the-court demeanor, behavior, his charitable work that he does in Africa, everything that he does, he's just such a big brand. And obviously, what he's achieved in sport is amazing. Like you said, for the last 3 years, you've not seen him play. We all knew that this day is coming, but we were thinking maybe it will happen after another Wimbledon or something like that. He, like, even when he announces his retirement, like, that entire post that he put up, it's just so classy. And like everything that he does, it just has like a Roger Federer stamp to it, which I think will be hard for anyone to really get to that level. Obviously, we have, like for me, later on, I became a Nadal fan as well. And I personally feel like Nadal and Federer, what they have achieved in sport is, in tennis specifically, it will probably be the greatest ever in the history books. Even if Djokovic might have more Grand Slams, like Nadal also through his tennis schools, like widespread across Europe, and I don't know if other continents, but at least in Europe, just what these guys achieve off the court, it's so big that I think his retirement obviously is a big hit to the Tennis Federation around the world, but also what this man has stood for off the court. It'll be very interesting to see what he does post-retirement for the sport, which could have a massive community effect around the world, around the globe, because he is a big advocate of charities and just in general being a social man, charitable man. So yeah, it is hard hitting. It was a day that all of us expected will come soon. And yeah, it'll just be nice to see Nadal and Federer again in London Laver Cup. Definitely tennis has lost a big, big icon, but it's very, I'll closely watch what he does in the second half of his career.
I just know that I watched like 2 hours worth of Federer highlights after that retirement announcement video. Suddenly, Baseline Classics on Instagram is, you know, spamming my Explore. I'm like, okay, fine, cool, not bad. I don't know, it's just, it was a bit much for me, to be honest. I'm like, what is this? At 10:30 India time, this man decided to do this. At least do it in the morning. I mean, how do I process this? I'm not going to get... It's not going to be...
Gui has just found out about time zones. What do you mean? This is Swiss time. He's not going to do it India time. What do you want to do?
You must factor it in.
I mean, he has to factor Asia into that, because I mean, that's
Uniqlo,
like,
bro. Uniqlo, excuse, that's like me.
Yeah, that's majority of the world's population is sitting there, and he's announcing it at a time when that side of the world is asleep. Come on, little consideration had to be there. You could have done it UK time. I agree.
Not on the same page, but carry on.
Just because you are sitting in this US time zone, because
bro, I'm just in Swiss time zone. He is Swiss. He literally did his time. Why would he want to? Why don't do it the time that's convenient for you? Anyway, this is a very irrational point. Carry on.
No, that's what I was going to come to. It's just one thing I hated about Roger Federer was the fans. Much like most people hate Manchester United. Similar concept. Illogical reasons, everything like, oh man, yeah, he sucked on the day, but what a backhand, yeah. Like, those things used to trigger me. It's like, oh yeah, he just plays a classy backhand. What's the point if he's not winning, right? So those were just those trigger points. And obviously, it triggered me even more because I was a Roddick fan first and then Rafa. So it was always like, he was at loggerheads with them. Yes, Rafa most of the time got the better of him. Always had extreme respect for Federer, but it's just that, like, I feel like in tennis, I always have supported the underdog, typically. So even before that, like when we were just growing up, we saw Agassi and Sampras a bit. That because dad used to watch a lot of tennis back then. Very little. Yeah, I know. But what I'm saying is, and then at that time, we saw Marat Safin. So I used to root for him as well because he was coming up. He used to do well, but never really win. But I always supported them. And it just seemed like, oh, this Federer is too good. I don't want to support him. It was just like that. Like, I couldn't root for him. I was obviously extremely appreciative of the type of tennis, the type of man he is. Like you said, Shubham, the way he carried himself off the court as well. No controversies whatsoever. Just aligned his brand value, his brands with his values at all times. again, being Swiss, so he's like away from all sort of politics as well, helps. Let's not ignore that factor as well. But no, man, absolute gem. And just for the sake of everyone, I'm going to drop in those numbers like I did for Serena. Career record of 1,251 wins, 275 losses. That's 82% in terms of his win percentage. We can talk about his Grand Slams, but we all know that. Like, I think Djokovic has to win at least 3 more Grand Slams to really solidify his place in the, even within the tennis world, in terms of saying that, you know, like, people will then officially be like, then it's undisputed. The fact that he is definitely up there, if not better. I mean, everyone knows he's up there, but what I mean is, like, no one's still talking about him. Like Gui just mentioned Fedal. He just forgot about Djokovic. What I'm trying to say is, like, it's something that Djokovic needs to establish, but that just speaks volumes of the type of tennis player Federer was. Nadal set up his game to beat Federer. Djokovic went on to do the same to beat Nadal. It all started from that man. The pioneer of the game, definitely the golden age, and he will be missed. And the only knock I have against him is, if he knew that he was going to retire, he should have just played Wimbledon. He's losing in the first round, fine. I know his body might not have been feeling it. We are selfish fans. It's a spectator sport. If he would have just played and shut the bed also, no one would have cared. Like Serena, it would have been just nice to see him on court, walking in with those rackets, those Wilson titaniums that we've all grown up to love, with that bandana of his. That would have meant the world. And like you said, Shubham, Laver Cup is going to be so epic. Can't wait to watch.
I can just imagine the tickets in black. If anyone sells, what prices they will sell at, man.
Shubham, buy one and sell it. Buy one and sell it.
It's not available only. And if I have to buy in black, I might as well just watch it on TV. Yeah. It'll probably be an entire month's salary, dude.
And Muzz, I think to your point, one thing to just note about Federer is just how long he's been playing tennis, right? He's been on the tour since 1998, if I'm not mistaken. So he's been on the tour forever. And especially when we compare it to older generations, right? The people who want to compare it to the Borgs, any older generations, the Sampras's of the earlier times, there is no comparison. The volume of tennis current day tennis players are playing with the ATP 250s, ATP 500s, ATP 1000s. And this is what's crazy about Roger Federer. When you total up all those tournaments, he's won 103 of those. So he's won 20 Grand Slams, 6 year-end championships. I don't know what that is. It's just a
few. Those ATP finals.
O2 finals. ATP finals. In London, right? Yeah.
Got it. Okay, so 6 of those. He has 28 ATP Masters 1000s, 24 ATP 500s, and 25 ATP 250s. So the guy has just been playing a shit ton of tennis. And when we talk about, you know, obviously the last 3 years have been a struggle. He just has never been really able to recover from injuries. Even if we take the last 3 years out, playing from 1998 to 2019 is an incredible amount of tennis to play. And it's a mental amount, phenomenal amount of toll that it would take on your body. And when you total up all of these, he's still higher than Djokovic as well as Nadal. Again, injuries played a role in both of their careers as well. And I think, Muzz, we're not going to talk about Serena too much because we literally had a full episode on Serena. But I think to your point, it became fun to root against him. He did the same thing that Serena did in tennis. You wanted to root for Nadal. You wanted Djokovic to come up. Because for a period of time before Nadal started to win outside the French Open, you sort of felt like it could never be anyone else, right? Until Nadal got that Wimbledon, we finally started to believe, oh, there is someone else who can compete with him. So when someone is that good, it's a testament to them that everyone starts to then root for everyone else. And I think the last thing I'll say, when we compare him to the Djokovic and Nadals, is the variance in his game. He was never there's no comparison. Athleticism-wise, he is definitely the worst athlete of those three. But as a result, he was forced to vary his game so much. He comes to the net way more than Djokovic and Nadal. He plays way more drop shots. He's never looking to make a point long. He's always looking for a winner. He's a lot more cleverer and nifty than he had to be because he was not as athletic as those two guys. And that's, I think, why people stylistically gravitate to Federer, is because he plays a style that's so varied. Kind of like in this last US Open you saw from Alcaraz, right? It's more exciting. There's just a lot more going on. It's not less baseline tennis. He's trying to mix things up. And I think for that, even if he doesn't, exactly like you said, that's the factor that makes it harder for Djokovic and Nadal to overtake his perception, because even if they win more Grand Slams, I think people will say, we just enjoyed watching Federer more at times.
I think there was this one comment that Kyrgios made about Federer, Nadal and Djokovic. He said, when you play Nadal and Djokovic, you can still play against them because they do a lot more rallies and becomes more endurance when you're playing against them. But when you play against Federer, he likes to finish points quickly. He'll make the... I literally remember him saying he said that opponents literally feel when they're playing Federer, like the court has suddenly become super small and like he's hitting balls right, left and center. Points are very short. The match is getting over quick. But against Nadal and Djokovic, it can stretch a bit longer. So I think that kind of sums up the sort of player he was. Very aggressive, always on the front foot, looking to finish off points quickly.
The one thing which I really feel put me very strongly on Fed's side was that, as opposed to anyone else I saw on the tour, this man was not afraid to show his human side. He would cry after winning a slam, bad performances, cry after losing a slam. Like, how at this point, like, a lot of tennis players are machines. Like, it's a day-to-day for them, right? Like, go on tour, play a certain set number of matches, works out. Only in slam finals do you see, like, sometimes them have like a human side. Earlier tennis players used to still have they used to generally have the bad side of not being able to control human emotions, the racket slamming, the shouting at chair umpires and stuff like that. This man, all I will do is cry. Okay, let me cry in peace. I will forget, my speech. I will not be able to talk because I'm so overcome with emotion. And this is someone who has won back-to-back slams. So that's what really put me very, very strongly on his side also. Like, keep the tennis aside, but this man is now endearing. Like, you want to root. That is what made me root for him more than anyone else, because I'm like, okay, this person seems very, very genuine about what he's doing on court. Now that we are done with Federer, wheel has, turned completely around, right? We have witnessed, I think, what is just 11 years since Tendulkar retired. Yeah, 11 is, it seems like a while, like since his last big tournament as such. I mean, I know he's been in the cricket scene for slightly longer than, the World Cup also, because with Mumbai Indians, you can't seem to forget Tendulkar. No, I mean it in a good way. Like, he's always there. Right. And there's enough cricket for him to be around also in a very accepting manner, because we've all watched so much IPL. But Krishnan, because I think it's between you and Mazhar who watch more cricket than like Malu and I put together, like individually watch more cricket than Malu and I put together. I'd like to go to you to say, what Tendulkar retiring meant, because Tendulkar started playing cricket before any of us were born. He started playing cricket before any of us were born, and then he hit peak also, like at the time when we were watching a lot of cricket. So what did it mean to see, like, probably the greatest batsman in a lineup of just amazing batsmen retire? Because a lot of people who started after him went out before. This guy just showed better longevity. I mean, under a lot of allegations that he's playing for a record and stuff like that, but even then, a god is a god, especially like the way Indians treated him was nothing short of a god. So what do you think? Like, what did it encompass for you to see Sachin move out of the game?
The thing is, Sachin is, he is the greatest batsman of all time. There is no question about it. There is no debate about it. And a lot of people, I think the common argument that comes up against Tendulkar is maybe a Bradman, right? Just because a Bradman's average is so historically phenomenal. To me, what's always more impressive across sports is endurance and working over time. Tendulkar, again, similar to Roger Federer, like we spoke about earlier, played from 1989 to 2013. That is his span of his international career, if I'm not mistaken. But correct me if I'm wrong. I think it is 1918. Just looking at Cricket Info, seems to be 1918.
No, his international debut was 89 for sure. 2013. Well, I don't know if when was his last test. I don't know if that was 2013. Maybe it was, but he played for Mumbai Indians after retiring for the test also. So it might not be.
Correct. At the very least, he was definitely in the World Cup squad in 2011, which is so at least 22 years of cricket. Tendulkar is... The reason I think Tendulkar is just so phenomenally special is he... I think, again, going back to your point on Serena last, you know, when we do the Serena episode, to check out the Serena episode, he was able to come back from a lot of shit. I remember that 2003-2005 spell. He had a great 2003 World Cup, but right after that, if anyone remembers, he had that big tennis elbow issue. And for a long time, we thought this was the end of Tendulkar. We had seen Tendulkar's greatest, and this had finally come to the end. But somehow, the guy just persevered, and he just found a way to get centuries. He just found a way to keep doing it. 100 centuries across formats is insane. And we spoke about this earlier. You know how insane it is when there are cricketers now who play way, way more cricket than Tendulkar did and are going to struggle to get to that. We joked about that Kohli would, oh, Aram say Kohli's going to make it. That's not even an issue. It's not even a question. The reason Kohli's not making it is because, like every cricketer, he had a slump. Every cricketer has a slump. That's just how cricket works. That's just how sports works. But Tendulkar just was an image of absolute resilience to that all. And I think somewhat a testament to like the batsmen of our time, there was a certain humility that came with, especially our top three, right? There's a certain really wonderful humility about Tendulkar, Dravid, Lakshman, which was like kind of our test batting core outside of Ganguly, who was probably a little more flair to him. But those three who are our classic test batting core at the end of 1990s to the, you know, maybe mid-2000s, he brought a certain obvious extreme talent with that classic Ayla, quiet, silent, calmness. That was just so beautiful. And he just was not a guy who kind of was very egotistical, kind of a guy who typically walked when he got out. The only knock on Tendulkar, in my opinion, the big knock that will always go on Tendulkar is the fact that he doesn't have more hundreds, because the guy got out so many bloody times in the 90s. That's one thing I will say about Tendulkar. His composure in the 90s is maybe one of the worst we've seen amongst any decent batsman. That's one thing. Even the games he scored hundreds, he was so edgy. He would push at the ball. He would nudge. He would take horrible singles. But there's just no question. He is the greatest batsman of all time. Dravid is my favorite cricketer, but there's no questioning. Tendulkar is the number one batsman. He is the god of batting of all time. And as of now, no one has come close, in my opinion.
I know one person who can shit on that man. He goes by Mazhar Gadiwala. Do you want to?
Someone was better batsman. I was like, Mazhar? I don't know.
I'm not even a batsman. I couldn't bat to save our inter-class team. What will I bat to save India's cricket national team over there? No, but coming to that, you're right, but I can't say certain things on record, so I won't say certain things on record about the little master. But no, man, he obviously made my childhood worthwhile. I wanted to be like Sachin. We all did. It's only after I started growing up a bit more and I started watching more cricket in a more, let's say, less emotional and more logical manner was when I started liking others and start realizing what everyone contributed to the team. Can't debate. Absolute phenomenon. No one can. The longevity never got dropped from the Indian national team. Never. Which is crazy to me. Like, in a team which was stacked. India has been stacked since like 2000, probably. Like, before that, fair enough. But after that, we had an abundance of talent. And we've only been having talents ever since in cricket. To have survived all of that just tells you how great a player he was. Man, whatever said and done, he carried himself, he presented himself in a certain way. People respect him across the globe. When you say India, at least in the Commonwealth nations that play cricket, first thing they are like, oh, who's your favorite player? It's got to be Sachin, right? It's the first question that everyone asks. The cricket conversation doesn't start without Sachin. Even from their end, when they talk to us, they are like, Dravid or Sachin? That's the question that comes up to us. Dhoni or Dravid or Sachin? Dhoni or Dravid or Sachin? And now Kohli as well has been thrown into that foray. That is the pure greatness of that man. Obviously, we've seen so many photos of him with Federer, which is again where everyone's like, Gui at that point is like, is hold I can't use certain words.
Hold
exactly.
Your hold your tongue.
I'm not saying any words, being very careful of what I say, but phenomenal. And yeah, man, this has been the golden age of sports for sure. I know every generation may feel that, but we have the stats to back it up. And that's our advantage in our generation. So when we sound old and you're like in our times, we have the stats to back it up. So everyone can fuck off.
One second. Sachin is not.
Yeah, Gui is just
exactly.
Perfect time to get frozen. Perfect time to get frozen. Before he says anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Sachin is not our generation. No, he peaked in our generation. He definitely counts as our generation. So that's if you were going to say that.
Are you talking about me? What I was going to say?
Yeah.
What I was going to say is we will always have official stats. Sachin Tendulkar, unlike Pele, is not going to say how many runs he scored in his building colony. He is not going to say all this shit. मैं अपने गांव में पालघर में मैंने इतना रन मारा नॉट हैपनिंग ओके नन ऑफ दैट स्टफ इज हैपनिंग
या या दैट्स व्हाट आई एम सेइंग
सो मेनी कॉल्स इन ब्रदर व्हाट आई गेट लॉस्ट वी डोंट केयर
रियली पहले हेटर हियर
वन सेकंड द जस्ट से आई वाज गुड एट इट ना बस
डूड वन द वर्ल्ड कप एट 17 दैट्स ऑल आई विल
से यस विद टू गोल्स इन द फाइनल्स
Exactly.
And then it only got repeated by Killian in what 20? What was which year?
18.
18.
2018. Yes. Yeah. So exactly. So credit where it's due.
Malu, one second. Quick question before we end the Sachin Wheel of Fortune. Did he also make you believe that MRF was a bad company? Because that was me.
100%. 100%.
Guilty as charged.
So for me, with MRF, I never believed it's a bad company. First thing. And second thing,
Shubham's too smart, man.
That's a fact. but the second thing, Sachin retiring, honestly, did not like, I never really cared that Sachin retired. And Sachin, honestly, like, I personally feel, yeah, given the stats, he is the greatest batsman. That, like, even if I want to argue, I am too smart to not argue that point because the stats are against me. But I just feel he did not do that much for the sport as compared to some of his contemporaries. And the reason I say that is I feel Sachin was a very, it's all like Sachin is a very individualistic
passive person.
Person is what I think. Even like I think Mazhar mentioned that he never got dropped even once. Like, I don't really think that's down to just his form. It was a lot of bias and a lot of politics. Like, how do you drop a player like Sachin? Even like towards the end of his career, he could have easily been dropped. But even help, like, I think there was a lot of support from BCCI to even help him cross the 100th century mark, where honestly he wasn't even like deserving a spot in the team. There were other people who got a chance. I personally feel when it comes to cricket, like Ganguly's retirement, according to me, has perhaps a greater impact because of the team that he built, the mentality he inculcated.
Dada,
and yeah, exactly, Dada. And like also like the generations he brought after him, like a Dhoni and the Sehwags and all, who became a core part of the team, I think his impact, I think, would be greater than Sachin's for Indian cricket. Sachin, individualistically, yeah, like his records would be hard to replicate or to break, but I didn't really care much that he retired.
The one thing I will say, that's a fair point. I think the one thing that we will say is there's, and probably this is true of all things, not just sports, there's probably a distinction between absolute technical expertise and leadership. And I think Tendulkar never bridged that gap. Like, I think he was the best technical batsman that's ever existed. But to your point, exactly, they're not great leaders. It's kind of the argument that's made against Messi as well, right?
If Messi, you remember when Tendulkar briefly became captain for like, I don't know, 1-2 years, his form massively dipped. He just wasn't a good captain.
He wasn't a very successful captain either. So I completely agree with your point. I don't think he ever transitioned to a phenomenally successful leader. But I think there's something to love about like a brilliant technician. But you're right, his impact on the, on, I wouldn't so much agree with the impact of the growth of sports because India was obsessed with him. Like, I actually think like India was, it had, the sport grew in India partly because of him. Like the individual impact of Tendulkar was it the individual impact of Dada. You could argue Tendulkar had a pretty big effect. Like every single kid had a number 10 Tendulkar t-shirt, similar to Messi.
No, I agree with you, because Tendulkar was such a great batsman that perhaps his fan base and cultural impact in India for kids wanting to become a batsman or become a cricketer like Tendulkar was greater. But today, if we look at what Tendulkar has done post, like 10 years post-retirement versus Dada, that impact for the sport, for cricket in India, I think these, like even Dravid for that matter, dude, like the stuff he did with the under 19 team, and now I think he's with the senior team. I think it's far greater than perhaps what Sachin does.
No, I agree. I think him, like Dhoni, I think once cricket was over, was like, I'm heading out. I'm done out with cricket. Peace out.
But Dhoni is Dhoni, yeah. Guys, no, let's not get into that. Otherwise, I'll become like Gooey at the start of the episode. So let's not go there.
I do want to super quickly just highlight his stats. Just two things I want to highlight. His test average, which was 53.78 with 51 centuries, and his ODI average, which was 44.8 with 49 centuries. He also had 46 test wickets and 154 ODI wickets. 154 ODI wickets. Fun fact, he has more ODI wickets than Jason Gillespie. Is that not
fun
insane?
Fun fact.
Yeah.
Fun fact, he played for 24 years. Fair point.
Fun fact, I don't know who the players you just named right now.
One of Australia's spearheading bowlers alongside Glenn McGrath. Come
one
on,
of the
Shubham.
Top goatees in sports of all time. Probably
look
top
like
five.
Jesus Christ, man.
Yeah.
Long
hair,
the,
goatee.
At least the symbolic Jesus Christ. Let's just put it like that.
Yes. Mazhar, nice save. Nice save. Very good. We appreciate such saves on the podcast always. Like how I had to quickly cut short my story about Naseem and certain Bollywood actors. We
back to back episodes where we bring up. Oh, I forgot her name. Ratia Nutella?
Yes.
Nutella?
Nutella?
Yes. Please do not stop it. Okay. Now, we are moving on to our next big, like, you know, big retirement. I mean, he phased out of the sport slightly in an unsavory manner because everyone felt like Mercedes did not do him right. Michael Schumacher, hotly debated as one of the greatest ever F1 racers. The argument is for either him or Ayrton or Lewis, right? It's just a persona thing at this point, because I genuinely believe we watched him at a rather young age, which, you know, has put us in a certain like emotional bracket when terms of following the guy. But also he drove a V10. Sorry to say, V10s, better cars, more noise up top. Mazhar has watched more F1 than the balance two. So I value Mazhar's opinion on this one. Mazhar, Schumacher's moving out of F1. Slightly odd-ish with, you know, a not so great season. I think it was what, alongside Rosberg?
Yes, it was. It was.
Yes, it was alongside Rosberg. This is not like the last hurrah an F1 legend deserves, but someone who, you know, very popularly went on to say that my 7 titles will be broken and, you know, we are currently at the verge of it. How does that make you feel? That's also a pain point in our lives, I know.
Honestly, if someone had to beat it, I'm happy it's Lewis. It should have been Vettel, ideally. I would have loved for Vettel to have done it, but Ferrari has been shitting the bed ever since Kimi won the title. And even that time, they got lucky because Kimi was just too good. I feel for Leclerc, he should be challenging for the title this season as well, obviously. But anyway, that's not the point. For me, what makes Schumacher the greatest? Listen, we didn't watch Senna. We didn't watch the people who came before. So I can't talk about the Niki Laudas and so on and so forth. But what I can say about Schumi is he made a team that was supposed to be mid-table win the championship. His teammate was nowhere close to the way Schumi was finishing. He was challenging Jacques Villeneuve, who was in an unstoppable car at the time, and he beat him. And yes, there were controversies. He those crashes. But F1 was super dirty back then. It wasn't just Schumi. Everyone picks on Schumi because he won. Everyone did nonsense like this. It's still happening. We still see
everyone,
ugly moments.
Everyone at that
Verstappen. Yeah,
much more elbows out. The sport was much more elbows out, which was acceptable at that point. Now there is a lot of debate because you have the benefit of hindsight. Oh my God, you used to, you know, sometimes intentionally drive into the other person. Huh? So what? Everyone's doing it now also.
Exactly. Everyone's forcing people wide now. Verstappen gets away with, like, for a lack of a better word, with murder a lot of times in terms of the way he drives and the aggression he shows. There's a clear bias. Schumacher made F1 fun to watch for all of us. Everyone wanted that Italian red Ferrari t-shirt or cap at all times. And everyone wanted that MSC one beside their names. Like, one of my first passwords was Michael Schumacher 1 or something like that. And imagine typing in Schumacher at that age also, the spelling. It was like my own spelling bee going on. But absolutely incredible driver. And one more thing not to forget about Schumacher and that Ferrari team was the camaraderie. Barrichello dropping the race, then Schumacher repaying the favor. Both of them, I mean, Schumacher going against the team orders and doing that just shows, because, I mean, even though he knew that he was going to win the title and you can argue and say whatever, he did it. At the end of the day, he was man enough to slow down and actually let his teammate through. And even in that race, when Barrichello let him through, he gave him the trophy. And Barrichello refused to take it, but he gave it to him. And Barrichello, I still think, has that trophy. It's just that. He was the best driver, for sure. And that time, the driver made a massive difference. F1 cars have changed so much that they're pretty much machines now. So I'm not saying it doesn't take immense skill and immense talent, still it does. But it was the level of difficulty just seemed much harder back then. And he made that Ferrari look unstoppable. I'm sure even they had their issues, their fair share of issues. He found a way. That's where I also have to give a massive shout out to Hamilton. We've seen him drill that stupid Mercedes this season, and even in the past when he's had trouble, he's found a way and won races with his puncher, man. And to see that race through and win that one, I'll never forget that as well. So for me, definitely Schumacher. We were fortunate enough to witness him drive. I'm seeing signs in his son as well. Mick is also a pretty fearless driver, has the talent, sadly in a shit team, who have been doing well this season, to be fair, and he's contributed to that. But Hamilton, I hope he gets that eighth title. But even if he doesn't, I think he's definitely got to be spoken about in the same capacity as... Yeah, he has to. I mean, the race wins.
I don't
wins.
Think there is much of a...
I know Mercedes won 8 consecutive constructors or whatever it was. But that doesn't change the fact that he was still good. And anyway, I'm done, guys.
One thing which I would like, you know, any one of y'all to jump in on, because, you know, Mazhar was talking about this, like, Schumacher being man enough to, you know, let someone else pass, like, Barrichello, you know, repay the favor kind of thing. I don't think that's something which you would see in current generation athletes at all, because you'll see a lot of them trying to... Can you hear this? There's some band playing outside. Nothing, na? You can hear?
No.
So one thing which I've really observed is, like, athletes right now are really playing for a legacy. Like, there is...
Can you hear it now?
Yeah, we know where... And we know where he's going with this point also. So it's just like... it's good. Shubham, it's good only. Because he's going to get us triggered. So it doesn't matter.
Anyway. So there are a lot of... I think most athletes are playing for a legacy, right? Like, there is no... I don't see it happening. But is it like a function of the fact that, you know, the 2000s saw so many of the greatest come to life, right? Schumacher's the greatest, Tendulkar's the greatest, you know, you have Roger and Rafa and Djokovic playing in that era. So now these records have been established, so there is an active interest in, you know, trying to beat them. Like, I don't know, it's just something which came to my mind. Whether you'll agree or not, I don't know. Y'all can...
No, I do. I definitely do. And before, Shubham, we come to you with the meat of the matter, shout out to the one and the only LeBron James as well. Clearly creating, like if he overtakes Kareem, which he will, I'm pretty sure in terms of all-time leading scorer in the NBA, Michael Jordan's claim of being the greatest of all time, undisputed greatest of all time, is going to be disputed. And I'm on that bandwagon to dispute it as well. Even though you can talk about six rings and six finals, MVPs and all of that stuff, perfect record in finals. The longevity, and for me, Krishnan, I'm with you on that. The endurance and the durability of athletes is something that impresses me the most. And I never thought I would say this, but yeah, LeBron, for me,
you are discounting that flu game, okay? That is equal to one season. Excuse
bro,
me.
I still think it was a hangover. Final. I'm not convinced.
Why is no one talking about Kobe, man?
When it comes to greatest of all time, he modeled his game to Michael Jordan. So he's like the perfect replica of Michael Jordan in terms of game style. But in terms of athleticism and what
I'm not talking in terms of greatest of all time, just in terms of like he retired from the sport and the legacy left behind. I think that would also
100%. But that's for another day. That's a different element altogether. For me personally, I still find it very difficult to talk about. There's just like it still feels weird to say that, you know, he's no more. For me personally, it still bothers me a bit. He's probably had the biggest impact in terms of a sporting career for me personally. I think I modeled my personality. I built up my confidence because of the way he was. I mean, and if we're talking purely about the greatest of all time, and then it's LeBron James. And even LeBron has done a lot. Let's give him credit where it's due with the I Promise schools and all of that. So Kobe was different in terms of all of that, advocating for females in basketball. Obviously, Oscar winner, Emmy winner, everything winner. He left nothing, no stone unturned. And to have achieved all of that before even turning 45 was absurd. You're right, Shubham, in terms of all of that. But he also was marred with certain controversies and we don't know all the truth. So I steer away from those things for now because we'll never know the truth.
Let's just walk out of that one into the debate. There's only one, like, this is soon to happen, right? This is soon to happen. Probably, like, one of the most iconic Premier League and UCL and La Liga players. Okay, I'm saying all these three because that's only Ronaldo. And and his all-time great rival also, Leo Messi. They will, you know, I think they're very close. Okay, extremely close. Maybe Leo plays on for a few more years because he's, slightly younger.
2 years younger, yeah.
And he's playing also in Paris, so like it's more chill. So yeah.
Yeah, bro.
He's actually chilling.
I'm curious what side of the debate Malo might fall. I'm not too sure. I'm a little confused. I'm a little unsure. I'm not too confident on this one.
So seriously, to start off with, I feel when Bade Mia and Chote Mia retire, I think it's going to be disastrous for all football fans. No matter which side of the equation you fall on, I think it's going to be painful. Personally, me, I think if anyone out of our millions of subscribers and followers, if you all have watched our podcast, you'll know which side I am on. I think personally, the day Ronaldo retires, I honestly think I'll cry that day because I just love the player he is and his story. See, achieving genius in your field, like obviously you have to put in the effort and hard work, but it's just his story from rags to riches, playing in Sporting, coming to Manchester, dominating it, losing his father, supporting his entire family, becoming a billion-dollar athlete, having all these businesses, winning every single thing that's there to win in the sport. And again, like the other athletes we spoke about, transcend his particular industry and become just this massive global icon, do so much for charity. I just think his story is inspiring. So obviously, when he will retire, it will be, I hope he retires with the most goals and that apna Chote Mia doesn't like really take away all his achievements. I hope he has like the most UCL goals and the most goals of all time and all that jazz. But I think when he retires, obviously it will be like a big void that will be created. And it's hard to see right now who can come to those places. Like, football has been such a sport that has always produced talent where every generation comes up with better stats. So maybe we'll have Haaland or maybe we'll have Mbappe. But at least right now when these two guys retire, it will just be like the legacy they will leave behind. It will be like too big, not just for football, for like the sporting world to just come to terms with. So, yeah.
It's much like, you know, how all current tennis players grew up watching Federer. Like, he is one of the key, you know, inspirations in terms of, for most like tennis athletes, it's either of these two for every upcoming footballer. Like, every 15, 16, 17 year old Arsenal are fielding these days, that, you know, or United. It's one of these guys only. Like, I have watched, I know all of us were old enough to, you know, see them debut and then properly hit their prime, and now very, very much taper away to, you know, oblivion soon. But sorry if that was too harsh for some people. But
what I would do to see Portugal versus Argentina in the World Cup final, man.
You know, I've actually dreamt of this. I've dreamt of this and made a story in my head just so that I can like dream about it, because I don't think it's going to happen. I've dreamt of it that Messi scores, they're leading 2-0, and then 80th minute Ronaldo right leg, he scores. 85th minute left leg, he scores. And then Messi gets a chance like in the 93rd minute to score 1-1. He fucks it up. It's a counter attack and Ronaldo had a perfect hat trick. 94th minute winner. And that's it. That will end the debate. All time greatest player, Ronaldo. I dream of stuff like this.
We will do a compilation of
One more thing I want Shabu Shubham to dream about. Ronaldo botoxed his balls. So enjoy now, Shubham.
Fuck off, man. What sort of information is this?
Twitter, man. Twitter gives you all these interesting facts, man. But after I read that, I was like,
I have questions. Who called this interesting? What the hell?
I don't know how it popped up also. That's the thing. How do certain, like, fine, Manchester United, so I understand, but like, Ronaldo's balls found themselves on Twitter.
I thought this would be fairly emotional, you know. Yeah,
it is. It's extremely emotional.
And then you mentioned the Botox balls and all, you shut up.
It's emotional for him, man. That's why he got it done. He's clearly insecure about something. So
he's trying to make up for the Ballon d'Or. Anyhow,
he's too short, right? Or one short. What is he?
He's too short. Now, so he has those two out there.
Both.
Exactly.
It's 7-all.
Can't win on the pitch, so he's winning off of it.
That's the legacy the greatest athletes leave behind. Win off the pitch.
Mazhar, I love this inception you've done. Hopefully, Malu actually has this dream now. I'm really rooting for this now. But no,
you're the one who talks about Ronaldo's underwear. So exactly. You're the one closest to have that dream, not me.
He said, and it's on record, we have it, where Krishnan clearly said that Ronaldo's the sexiest man on the billionaires list. So
that I still stick with that. And Muzz, if you get any of us to dream about it, you've won. Like, you've successfully you've succeeded in your inception mission. But I don't think there's anything I can add. The last thing I'll just say is 815 goals for Ronaldo, 778 for Messi, a Euro for Cristiano Ronaldo, a Euro final for Cristiano Ronaldo. That's another one small piece I would talk about in Ronaldo's legacy, is his leadership, right? His role in steering Portugal to that Euro in 2016? I think 2016?
Yes.
Yes. Especially
Eder goal.
Eder. But with Ronaldo
disappeared after that.
But Ronaldo being the manager, pretty much.
The manager. Santos looking like the most clueless guy in football, as he always does. Ronaldo not being able to play because he had got off with an injury, but had a great tournament at that point. Actually had a great last World Cup as well. Such a vocal figure in that Portuguese side again. Winning the Euro, reaching a Euro final. Lionel Messi finally getting his Copa America recently. Actually taking his team to a World Cup final, was pretty instrumental in the World Cup final they reached back in 2014 against Germany. should have honestly won that game. They were definitely not the better team of the tournament, but that
Chelsea
game...
should have honestly. Then Ronaldo also should have honestly won 7 Ballon d'Ors. Let's not get into
it. Ronaldo has never reached. I don't think he's reached a World Cup. I may be wrong. I don't think he's reached a World Cup final.
Finally, he's not.
Portugal have Portugal also have never made it to the World Cup without Ronaldo. So
yeah.
Oh wow! I didn't know that. Wow.
So now you know. Now you know. Now when you know, you talk about it.
Fair enough. But either way, it's going to be... And the last thing I'll say is, between the two of them, which is still mostly Ronaldo, they've covered 4 of the 5 big leagues. For whatever reason, Bundesliga has completely been ignored. Killing in most leagues, it's going to be weird to see a football world without them.
I think when your celebration is copied in every single sport, it just goes to show that you're the greatest of all time.
I agree. It's iconic. It's too iconic. And on this note, we should play some nice, sad Karan Johar tune.
I thought you were going to say a compilation of all of us saying Sue, but anyway, let's avoid this for everyone who's pure.
I would love to see that with these two guys in Arsenal jerseys sitting here doing that. Oh, what would I do for that?
I just keep saying we some not, I would say anything but the whole thing correctly. Anyway, this Krishnan's on a bender. I don't know. Like, Krishnan, what was the breakfast meal?
Hey man, a Brentford 3-0 win does this to you, man. That's all I'll say.
Brentford away, okay, at Brentford Community Stadium. Anyway, so we've discussed, you know, everyone who has moved out of their respective sports, two people who will soon do it. We've also had Vettel's retirement announcement coming in very recently. Eventually, we'll be part of those 35-year-olds who, you know, talk about the past more than they do about the present. I don't know how it makes you feel. It makes me feel like shit. So I want to end this podcast immediately. Thank you everyone for listening. Thanks everyone for watching, those who are also watching. I would like to thank my co-hosts who've done a brilliant job of making this a nostalgia stroke comedy episode. For everyone who's interested, you can drop your suggestions in the comment boxes. You can drop them in our DMs. They are open. Everyone can like, share, comment, subscribe. It's okay. We do not care what the comment is, even if it's rude, it's engagement. That's all the same for us. Thank you everyone for tuning in, and we'll see you next time. Peace out.
If you like this episode, make sure to leave a like and share it with anyone else who might be interested. You can also subscribe on any social media platform that you prefer, and all our links are in the bio. We also have a website with all our episodes, as well as blogs and a whole lot of other sports content, so make sure to check that out as well.